Welcome to another Carlin and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I was looking at an interesting video the other day of the world record for the men's triple jump. Obviously, that's close to my heart because my son Sam sort of did a lot of triple jump in the day and high jump and long jump and 100 and 200 metres. So I thought we'd have a look at some of the world records and Australian records in those events.
Yes, I saw that on Facebook. Jonathan Edwards, English, Great Britain, 1829.
Yes.
That's a big jump, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's huge, isn't it?
It's when, and I often do this at school, I'll say to the kids, because kids don't know those world records, but I step them out like on the basketball court. And when you do that and you actually look at the distance on a basketball court, you think, wow, that is a long way that these guys, hop, step and jump. In high school, most people said like hop, skip and jump. But these guys are hopping 6 metres, then they'll bound 6 metres, and then they'll jump 6 metres and put that together and you've got your 18 metres. But you remember he was a very strong Christian, Jonathan Edwards. He probably still is. Okay. And he wouldn't compete on Sundays.
That reminds me of that film from the 1924 Olympics where they didn't compete on the Sunday because of the religion.
And he was the same. And so there was a time, I can't remember exactly where it was, but one of the major championships he couldn't compete because I think the qualifying was on a Sunday and there was a lot of effort to try and move it, but in the end they didn't, and so he didn't compete.
Just to put that in perspective, that's 18.29 metres is 60 foot, which is basically like the cricket pitch or from the pitcher's mound to the catcher in baseball. That's a fair distance.
It is incredible. And when, if people think of their own sort of feats, if they go back to school or little athletics, whatever, people jumping 3, 4, 5 metres, you know, if the school kid jumps 5 metres or over 5 metres in long jump, that's not bad, right?
Yep.
But these guys are doing, like I said, 6 metre hop, then straight into a 6 metre bound, and then again landing on one leg and taking off and jumping 6 metres. The forces going through their body every time they hit the ground is just amazing. And yet they are strong enough and powerful enough to cope with it.
And at the elite level, of course, they have to be strong in all three, the hop, the step and the jump.
Well, it's all about rhythm. And so, again, coaching young kids, they tend to have a really big hop, a small step and then a big jump. And, of course, it's all about getting that balance.
You know, the women's...
You know the women's world record?
Yeah. It's 15.50, 1995. Inessa Kvyat from Ukraine.
Ukrainian, yes.
Yeah, I did my homework too, mate.
Well done. 15.50. And again, triple jump, high jump and pole vault were not always international events for women. And so they came a little bit later. And so, but the women have certainly improved rapidly. I mean, they did compete in those events, but typically domestically. And then, of course, they got those events put in at international level.
Well, Simon, we're talking about the jumping. I actually love the long jump. I reckon it's one of the most entertaining events to watch in that field because there's so much tension. There's those fouls. There's, you know, and then there's the incredible world record that Bob Beamon created in 1968, in Mexico. It was 8.90, which broke the previous record by 55 centimetres, and it seemed to be standing there forever.
It was just a freak of a jump, wasn't it? I mean, that's, and there were a lot of bigger world records at Mexico, and obviously competing at altitude had a difference, but like Bob Beamon's long jump world record, and of course, we'll talk about it obviously being broken, but Carl Lewis for a long time was very, very close to it. And so, as you said, in that sort of late 80s, early 90s, the long jump competitions, the big competitions, people were just looking for that world record to be broken. And so you're right, there was always a lot of drama, a lot of interest in it. And long jump's one of those events, a lot of people have done it. It's like run and jump. And so I think people understand that event, and they, of course, they understand how difficult it is to get those really long jumps.
Well, you mentioned Carl Lewis, of course. He was the favourite to break it. He was so close. And then, of course, Mike Powell managed to break it 8.95 in 1991, I believe.
91, I think it was at Tokyo at World Champs.
Yeah, I think it was, but that record now still stands.
I know, 8.95, and like the crowd. I mean, he said the crowd loved the long jump. Like, they remember back in the day, that's when people started, the jumpers started getting the big clap going. So they would be clapping on the runway, and then the crowd would be doing it. And of course, as they come running in, it gets faster and faster, and off it goes. So yeah, in Tokyo, I was actually there, believe it or not.
Okay, competing.
I was competing. I wasn't at the venue when he did, but I watched it there on the, when we were back in the village. Yeah.
Well, you know, we mentioned that Bob Beamon broke the record by 55 centimetres. Mike Powell's only broken it by 0.05, 5 centimetres.
I know, but it was such a big record. Yeah. Bob Beamon's record was so big. I mean, you just don't get that happening. I mean, how often, you know, to break a world record by that distance is crazy. And so that's why it lasted so long. Was it like 1968, so 20, was it 20, quick maths, 23 years?
20, yeah.
20 something. And so that's what, I mean, because that was such a big gap. And, of course, you think, sometimes I think, are athletes actually getting better? Because when you look at a lot of world records, a lot of them were set back in, like, the 80s, 90s. I mean, some of the track events have been broken, but a lot of the field events were set back then. And, of course, why aren't, I mean, athletes are getting better and better on the track, but they don't seem to be getting better and better in the field events.
Well, basically, the record's only been broken once in 51 years.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Imagine the first person to go over 9 metres.
Wow, it will happen.
Yeah, it will happen.
Now, what about the high jump? High jump, Javier Sotomayor, Cuban, 2.45, and that's 1993.
I know, 2.45 metres.
Wow. The woman's...
Like, that's typical. Yeah, you think of a normal house, roof height,
yeah.
I mean ceiling height, and it's higher than that. So, you know, you look at a door frame of, like, 6'8", like, a bit over 2 metres, and then you're going to go another 45 centimetres above the top of the door frame. And
wow.
This guy was jumping that high. And he was only 193 centimetres.
Yeah, well, the woman's is 2.09, the Bulgarian. Yeah. Stefka Kostandinova.
Kostandinova.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I know that because my wife, of course, was a very good high jumper. And this girl was, I think it was late 80s when she broke the world record. So she was certainly the best jumper at the time internationally. And so I knew of her because Sharon knew of her from her high jumping.
Okay. Now, with the, in the sprint.
209.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. And this is what, again, like, we watch, this is what people, I don't think, really get, and I know we're talking, so, a different type of sport. Most times we talk about footy and netball and stuff like that, but...
And baseball.
Yeah, and baseball, and basketball. But when you're thinking this type of stuff, these individual events, these are the freak athletes. You know, we see some freak athletes in team sports, but then these people are beyond that. And it's hard for people to understand what they're like.
Well, to put it in perspective from a team sport, you've got great footballers who've won triple McGarry medals like Barry Rubber and Russell Ebert's won four and triple Brownlow medals. They're the elite of the elite. Well, that's what these runners are in their sport.
Well, and they're that's right, but we don't appreciate how freakish they are because you think like something like the 100-metre world record, right? It's got to be the most sought-after event, isn't it, the 100 metres. And so through history, the fastest men and women have trained to do that. And so you're talking about that very, very small percentage of our population.
It is a blue ribbon event of athletics, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes. I'm not biased at all, you know, being a hammer thrower. That...
Well, you know, obviously Usain Bolt from Jamaica, so he's broken the records for the 100 and the 200. He's, in 2009, he had a good year. He 9.58 for the 100 metres and then, you know, for the... 200 metres, it's 19.19, again 2009. Something interesting, he was in a 150-metre race and he was timed a running start over the 100 metres and he caved it. He did, what was that, 8.7 or something. It was just incredible. This guy is just muscle and speed. He was just an incredible runner, wasn't he?
Well, he is. And well was, but an interesting thing, looking when they do analysis of things like the 100 metres, like you remember those races you'd watch, and I mean, you're talking about the best runners in the world, and then it seemed that he would pull away from them in the last like 20-odd metres. But the reality is that even the top sprinters cannot hold their maximum running speed over the length of the 100-meter sprint. So they accelerate, and as you were pointing out, his 100-meter time of 8-something seconds was when he'd already gone through that acceleration phase. And then they've got to hold their top speed for as long as they can, but they're actually decelerating over the last part of the race. And the difference between him and the others is that he is still slowing down, but not at the same rate as the others. So it looks like he's accelerating, but he's actually... And that's the weird thing. They're all slowing down, but he's actually slowing down the least.
Well, you know, that 8.7 is such an incredible time over 100 metres. It's actually 41 kilometres an hour. That's about how fast you drive, isn't it?
Well, that's because I'm a safe driver. I don't drive around with a sticker on the back of my car saying, wild child.
Okay, don't
you? You know, people who do that, look out for anyone in a green car with wild child on the back.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you, interesting for the woman, there's that 100 and 200 is Florence Griffith Joyner back in the Los Angeles Olympics. In, yeah,
back in the 80s.
Actually, no, she got 1988, so that's Seoul.
Yeah, that's Seoul. That's right. Yeah.
But she got...
She came out, well, I mean, there's been a lot of stories about...
Drug taking, yeah.
But, I mean, she came out of nowhere, didn't she, in that competition? I mean, and as you were going to talk about those world records, they were crazy.
Well, in that particular Olympics, she got... she ran 10.49 for the 100, and she got 21.34 for the 200, and no one's touched those since.
And do you think they ever will?
Yeah, eventually they will.
Yeah, but you look, like the women's world records, right, 100, 200, Florence Griffith Joyner, 400, Marina Kosh from East Germany, 47.6.
Now, you're talking about drugs. Well, Eastern Bloc.
Well, we know the Eastern Bloc, and I mean, there's lots of evidence to suggest, and even now the Russians obviously have been in trouble for systematic, but, and the Americans are no different. And this is the problem with some of these world records that we're talking about, is that unfortunately there is this cloud over some of them of performance-enhancing drugs. And imagine now, like, girls, very, very elite runners running 10.9, 11 seconds, 11.1. They're the type of things that are going to win you world championships. But that's half a second off. You think of Kathy Treeman winning the Olympics in, like, high 49s, 47.6.
Wow.
Like, it just puts it in perspective. Like, and this is back in the 80s. Like, Marita Kosh broke the 400 metres in Canberra. I was there for the World Cup. And that run was just, it was like she was running at school girls.
Yeah.
She left them for dead. And, of course, will that record ever be broken? And at some point, will people go, hang on a minute, we've got this evidence. We need to actually, what would you do? I mean, do you wipe them off? Do you start again? How do you do it?
I don't know. But I see there's other records that are held by two athletes, you know, before and after certain times and things like that. So I don't know. Maybe there'll be some clarification, you know, down the track where they can work those types of things out.
You need absolute proof, don't you?
You know, to me, the reason the 100, the 200 and long jump have always been close to my heart is because it's almost mythology now, the way Jesse Owens, what he did in 1936 as a Negro athlete competing in the German in Berlin Games, and he won 4 gold medals. He ran the 100 in 10.3, 200 in 20.7, and the long jump 7.64. They're pretty good when you think about it, but that was
30s.
You know, getting on to 80 odd years ago. And then, of course, in 1984 at Los Angeles, Cole Lewis sort of he got the 4 gold medal for the same events, and he got 9.99, just under the 10 second for the 100. He got 19.8 for the 200, and he got 8.54 for the long jump. So it sort of gives you a little bit of a growth in those records attempts sort of over that period of time compared to what they are now. And like you said, the 80s and the 90s were the hot spots. But I'll just mention that the first sub-10 second for the 100 metres was done by Jim Hines from the USA in 1968 Olympics, again, Mexico. The men's record has been broken 12 times since the electronic timing became mandatory in 1977. So there's some interesting stats. And look, what I'd like to do for our next show is let's look at those same records for Australians and sort of see how they compare with those records.
Will do.
So into another Carlin Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.